You're listening to Witch Wednesdays, a semi-weekly podcast source for all things witchcraft in the modern world. Join your host, Steph, on Wednesday mornings to chat about seasons, Sabbats, and all new witchcraft topics to help you make your life more magical. Welcome back to Witch Wednesdays. I'm Steph, and I have a guest here with me today. I'm very excited to chat about her at the time that we're recording this upcoming book. But by the time the episode is published, the book will be out because it's literally tomorrow. So I'm going to go ahead and let her introduce herself and tell you where you can find her online.
Well, hi, everybody. My name is Denise Alvarado, and I am an author and artist. And have been writing books for, I don't know, almost a couple decades now. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I currently live in Arizona. You can find me at creolemoon.com and crossroadsuniversity.com, where I teach all about the things I write about. And I mostly write about folk magic, Southern folk magic, voodoo and hoodoo, New Orleans voodoo specifically. My new book is the Marie Laveau Voodoo Grimoire, and I'm looking forward to discussing that book and whatever else we end up talking about in the process of this discussion today.
I am so excited to chat and familiarize everybody with this topic because I have talked about Marie like a little bit, but not something that I specialize in. And everything that I know about Marie Laveau has come from your previous works. So I consider my own personal expert on that. So I was really excited that you came out with this new edition. So for anybody who is not familiar, what is your new book about and what can they expect when they're starting to read it?
Great question, because I've got a couple of books out about that focus on Marie Laveau. The first book I wrote about her was The Magic of Marie Laveau, and that book was about her life and about how and her specific style of spirituality. And then I wrote the Witch Queens book, and that has a chapter in there about her, and it's more about her life, some other things I didn't cover in The Magic of Marie Laveau. And the longer I research about Marie Laveau and put together all my notes and things, there's just so much material on her that I wanted to share with the world. And one of the things I wanted to share with people was how to, because I get a lot of questions about her, and how to, you know, quote unquote voodoo. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what voodoo is. And this book hopefully helps to clarify it a bit in terms of it being like a spiritual lifestyle. It's more about, it's not as much about doing spells and that kind of thing. I think that, you know, the media and folks commonly focus on, although there's certainly a big part of the practice that consists of those things. But I wrote the Marie Laveau Voodoo Grimoire to be a set of instructions for how to implement the spiritual concepts of New Orleans voodoo and her specific style of voodoo, which I call Laveau voodoo, because it has a big component of it is Catholicism. And don't let that scare you off, though, because the things that she incorporates are that are reflective of Catholicism, or basically how you treat another person. I mean, she devoted her life to in service of her community, whereas the majority public may see her as a voodoo queen, and that word voodoo being as loaded as it is in terms of the media and whatnot, she is viewed as a healer more than that in New Orleans. That's what we love her for. She spent her life in service of people who suffered from the yellow fever, which lasted seven, eight decades. So her pandemic that she went through was her entire life, essentially. And, you know, we went through a couple of years, and look at how much it changed us and everything. Well, she, her whole life was that. And she figured out a way to not only help people heal and, you know, survive these pandemics, she did it in a way that was on her terms. She was definitely a boss woman of the city. You know, she was well known as a businesswoman. She also ministered to people on death row. You know, she worked with people and prayed with people who everybody else didn't want to, you know, work with or pray with, or, you know, the type of people that we lock away and forget about. She didn't do that. She went into the parish prison and she would help them set up altars so that they could pray in their final days. She cooked them their final meals. So she did a lot of things like that. She's well respected in the city because of that, because of those things in particular.
I love her. It's such a fascinating history. And mm-hmm. just learning about her life is so interesting in how she helped the people that nobody else would and the people who couldn't afford traditional right. help and medicine. And all of her stories are just so fantastic. Like, she's such a badass.
She really is. And, you know, that said, she also worked with the very well-to-do population. She infiltrated every aspect of society.
She sure did.
She was a hairdresser, and she, you know, went into the homes of the rich women of the city, and, you know, she listened to all their gossip, and she gathered that intel, and she knew all the backstories, and people came to her for their, you know, requests for, you know, love or reconciliation or revenge. She had the backstories on everybody. And so she could tailor her workings to be very effective. So on top of her natural skill of being a healer and practitioner, root worker, she used everything at her disposal to be the best practitioner and healer that she could be. And obviously she was very effective, and we're still talking about her today.
Absolutely.
A couple hundred years later. But yeah. And the thing too that's really, really impresses me about her is people didn't live that long, you know, in the 1800s. There was a lot of illnesses that there weren't treatments for, and the treatments were oftentimes more toxic than the actual illness. And but she developed an immunity, like a lot of people did in New Orleans, to certain illnesses, like the yellow fever, for example. But she, totally forgetting what I was about to say. Oh,
that,
my God.
That she lived a long life. Imagine.
Exactly.
That's where you're going with that.
That's what I was getting to. I was getting to that most people died, you know, in their 30s or whatnot. And she lived to be 80, almost 81. So that begged the question, well, how did she do that? Right? With all this, you know, illness stuff going on, and just the Civil War, all these things that went on during her lifetime. I mean, how did she live to be, you know, 81 years old?
Right.
So I kind of addressed some of those things in my book. You know, I focused on how she ate, you know, what the food was, what she consumed. So what did she put into her body? And got a whole chapter on recipes that are really good that anybody can make. Then also go into some other things that she, you know, did, spiritual baths and cleansings and, you know, working with prayer and cultivating happiness over money, you know, cultivating joy. And when you do those things and you focus on the right energies, the blessings of other things, you know, tend to attract themselves to that. And so the book goes into some of the, you know, a lot of those things that would have been part of her lifestyle, part of a typical Creole woman's lifestyle at the time, Creole person in New Orleans.
How did you Was it just growing up in New Orleans, or how did you get interested in this whole world of Marie Laveau and all of this history information? Because I imagine it was a lot of study to put together everything that you have put together over the years about her life and her practices. So where did you even start?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody who grew up in New Orleans who doesn't know about Marie Laveau to some extent, even if it's just the surface, you know, tourist voodoo stuff. But for me, it was my aunt who introduced me to the mysteries and on a bayou in Mississippi, actually, where that part of my family is from, when I was 5 or 6 years old. She taught me how to communicate with spirits with a single white candle. That was her biggest teaching to me. Cleansing with herbs and water. And so I learned the very, very rudimentary basics as a small child. And not all my family was into voodoo at all. I'm not going to say they were, they weren't. But my parents were very, I was raised Catholic. And I, you know, was confirmed and all that stuff. I had to go to catechism and all that. So I was raised Catholic, and it's very compatible with New Orleans voodoo. But my parents were very open and very supportive of my exploration. You know, they would buy me books on witchcraft or Hinduism, or even got me a book on Satanism, Anton LaVey's book, when I was very young. They weren't afraid of me having information. And so that's where it all started for me. It was in my early childhood when those bits of information were shared with me. And then I was able to draw on it, you know, throughout my life. And I learned more, you know, as I got to be an adult, of course, I learned a whole lot more about what these things meant. And with my research as an anthropologist, getting into it more from that perspective, learning how to research and access, you know, records and things that I hadn't been exposed to before. And frankly, a lot of people haven't been exposed to before. A lot of it's unpublished, but held in the libraries. And so I've been able to uncover some of that stuff and then interpret it and report on it in my books.
Which I really appreciate, because a lot of what you talk about and cover, like you said, is not easily acceptable to a lot of people. And as much as witchcraft in general can sometimes get a bad rap in pop culture, it's really nothing compared to what they do to voodoo. So I'd love to chat about that and get your opinion on that, because voodoo has the worst rap of any form of magical practice. And is that pop culture? Is that rooted in racism? What is going on that everybody is so scared of voodoo and not willing to look into what it actually is?
Well, you know, I hesitate to say that we had it worse than, you know, witchcraft, because, well, witchcraft is in New Orleans too. Wow, you know, it's true. It's the most misunderstood religion, spiritual tradition ever. And I think the reason that it has it, you know, maybe a little worse than even witchcraft did, is because it came from Africa. So, yeah, of course, anything, you know, Black and African in this country did not start off on a positive note. So it is definitely rooted in racism. And there was a whole propaganda system that was in place in the 1800s. When you see reports of it in the newspapers, when, the cops would raid ceremonies, and the way they would describe the quote-unquote darkies, and using the N-word, and I mean, even the records, the unpublished manuscript that I have accessed, uses the N-word. And this was records and research done by interviews done by the Federal Writers Project, which was a government project implemented during the Great Depression to employ writers. One of the things they did was they interviewed a whole bunch of people who were hoodoo practitioners in voodoo. Not as much voodoo, but hoodoo, but that's a whole different thing too, the difference between hoodoo and voodoo. But yeah, so I think, you know, going back to the bad rap, it's just that these traditions are, there's a lot of fear about it because people don't understand what it is. You know, witchcraft is a very healing-based tradition. It's a very harmonious, you know, living in harmony with nature and the planets and embracing all these energies, natural energies, and living a lifestyle that reflects that. You know, this world, this Western world, is very much dominated by men and has been, you know, for a long time. And, you know, your witchcraft, your midwives that were, you know, in Europe, and the healers were, you know, prosecuted or targeted, you know, I think because of the power they had. You know, I think people are just afraid of the power women have. When we realize our power and we're not being constrained by outside influences, we can do a lot. And it's a shame that we're not allowed to, even to this day, that we don't have bodily autonomy.
Damn right.
You know, but so we still have a lot of work to do with that. But I think because, you know, voodoo was rooted in Africa, and this country is largely was largely built on, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears of the African enslaved people and indigenous people here that were already here. You know, what do you do when you've committed such atrocities? You know, you have to scapegoat somebody and something. And so, you know, they call Africa the dark continent, and, you know, call, you know, indigenous people savages, and you know, call Africans all kinds of stuff, demeaning names. And those views, like today, you see all the propaganda today, you know, when there's a narrative that people want, that the media wants out there, everybody amplifies that tone. You know, the topic of illegal aliens, for example, that whole term, illegal aliens, you know, and everybody's shortening it to illegals. There's a purpose behind that. And that's to otherize the person. It's to dehumanize those populations. And the propaganda you see that happened in the 18th, 19th century and early 20th century, and still to today, it's one of it's really hard to describe, but I think they liken it to devil worship, which is really weird because there's no devil in voodoo. That's not even part of the religion or the tradition. So that's wrong to begin with. You're hating on us for something that's not even ours. It's not even something that we claim.
Of course.
You know, doesn't even make any sense. And when the people would get together in the 1800s and have their ceremonies, they would gather at somebody's house, a voodoo queen's house, and they would have their dances and their ceremonies. And there was always a part of it that was, you know, the party afterwards, basically. And neighbors who weren't into voodoo would report them. And then, you know, cops would come and bust them, and they'd all have to go downtown. And now Marie Laveau, she was never, her ceremonies would be busted all the time. But she was never arrested. She was in good with the politicians and the law enforcement at the time. She had some arrangements worked out, but they still would come and harass her. And no, that's but and she would also post bail for a lot of the people who couldn't afford it to get out for those kinds of charges. So that's pretty cool. But I even start my book with a quote from her when the police showed up to another one of her ceremonies, and I can just see her say it. She's like, "Shut that goddamn door. Like, how many times are you gonna come in here and disrespect me like that?" You know? And that's a quote from I think it was a newspaper article when they police report. It was from a police report.
And
she
love
had
that.
Said that. You know, but I can just see her doing it, like, would you just, what the hell, you know? yeah, so
Well,
there's a lot that
I think people are really going to have a good time reading about her life, if they have not already read that book. But for your new one that is coming out, I was just really excited, obviously read it, but just how much information is in there that is new to me, because there's just so much that has not been able to be accessed. And I want to ask you, for beginners that are just coming into this, have no basis in New Orleans, don't understand anything. I know there's a lot of secrecy with voodoo because there are initiations and it is very sacred and you need to be a part of that. Is this book accessible for people who aren't in that practice? Are they still able to get something out of this book? I know the answer, but I'm gonna let you answer.
That's a great question too. And I certainly hope so. You know, I try to make things as, you know, open and accessible to as many people as possible, but the positive aspects of things, because, you know, my goal is to share the truth about voodoo and try to dispel a lot of these myths and stereotypes and destructive attitudes towards the tradition. And, you know, the book is a lot of practical things, because it's all about having a spiritual lifestyle. It's all about enhancing your life through magic and spirit and being better for it. So there's a lot of practical information about, you know, how, you know, things would be cleaned, like the old domestic receipt books would tell you. But, you know, I incorporate the magic into it, you know, like, you know, cleaning your clothes with vinegar, you know, adding vinegar to it, to whites. That's a cleansing agent on more than one level. And that's a way that people can incorporate magic in their life. You know, it's a lifestyle. It's not just a practice, you know, it's like, it's a way of seeing the world, it's a way of living in the world. And there's a lot of things that people can do. But for New Orleans voodoo, I always tell people to start with your ancestors. Now, don't go into this book, because it's not, this book isn't more as much, you know, I didn't have enough room, actually, enough pages to go into everything that I really would have liked to cover. I have to, you know, a lot of stuff was cut out of it. And which is why I'm offering the course too, because I'm teaching an in-depth course about the book. And it includes a lot of the stuff that didn't make it in print. Because, you know, our publishers always make us have a word limit, a word count.
Of course.
But yeah, for anybody who's like really interested in starting with New Orleans voodoo, I tell everybody to start with your ancestors. Start with getting to know with who you are and where you come from. Go back as far as seven generations if you can, which means you got to get into your genealogy, you know. A lot of people have trouble going back that far, and that's fine. You know, the point is to just get to know who you are by knowing where you came from and knowing who your ancestors are. It's an amazing journey when you start that. uncovering, you know, who came before you and what their stories were. Were they already here, or were they, where did they come from? You know, what were their traditions? What did they do? And a lot of people start getting into, you know, into their genealogy. But you want to start with, of course, you know, asking parents and grandparents, if you have any grandparents left alive, please talk to them, ask them their stories, you know, because that's what it is. It's about connecting to elders, creating that ancestral practice. And it's really simple to do. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's not scary. There's nothing unsafe about it. You don't have to be initiated, and which, by the way, you don't have to be initiated to be a practitioner of New Orleans voodoo. It's not an initiatory tradition. It's a folk religion, which means it's open to the people. So start with your ancestors, whoever you know, grandma, grandpa, whoever died, whoever has died, and you know, get yourself a little table, cover it with white linen of some sort. Doesn't have to be fancy at all. Set up your photos of your deceased family members. If you have any photos of people who have, you know, passed on from generations past, that's awesome. A lot of times, like if you join the sites, Ancestry, you know, or any of the other ones, people share those photos. I've been able to find photos of some of my ancestors, and it's been a fantastic just kind of journey of discovery. But yeah, so you want to put, you know, some photos of your ancestors on your altar. You don't put a photo of anybody who is alive. That's one rule. You don't want to mix the photos of the living with photos of the dead. So it's only the photos of the dead that go on your ancestor altar. And you can put a single, you know, glass of water on there as an offering, some flowers, or whatever your ancestors you know might have appreciated. Some, you know, favorite food. If grandpa, you know, liked a particular kind of cigar, you know, you can offer him that. Doesn't have to be burning if you don't want to. You can just put it on there, and he can partake of it in the spirit world as he will, the energy of that cigar. And then you just want to talk to them. You just talk to them like you would if they were in the room with you. Hi, you know, hi grandma, hi grandpa, you know, this is Denise. And I hope you're doing okay. And I've got some things I'd like to talk to you about, if you don't mind, you know. And then you just talk to them just like a normal conversation. You want to, but you do want to have that kind of introduction as you sit down with them. Hi. And address whoever it is you want to talk to, and then tell them who you are. Maybe you can, you know, pour a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and then have your morning conversation. Another thing you can do is just go outside and pour a glass of water on the ground and say to all my relations. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do that are just really simple practices. To honor your ancestors. But that really is a big foundation of New Orleans voodoo. And it's not one that is emphasized as much as it should be. All beginners should start there. And then there's some spirits that anybody can access. Papa Legba is a spirit that anybody can access. And in addition to your ancestors and your guardian angel. Marie Laveau can be served by anybody. All the saints. We have a lot of saints in New Orleans voodoo. I mean, there's like thousands of actual saints. We don't work with all of them. There's some primary ones. St. Peter, St. John. And then we have folk saints like St. Maroon. Excuse me. St. Anthony. So you want to get to know who they are. And I go into those particular spirits in my book, Witch Queens, Voodoo Spirits, and Hoodoo Saints. That's all about the different spirits and saints in New Orleans voodoo. It tells their stories, who they are. And so that's a good book to get if you really want to get into just learning who's in the Pantheon and see who might speak to you.
Also, and when I say my favorite
that,
read.
I mean, what's that?
That was also one of my favorite reads.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a fun book to write.
Fun book to read because I'm fascinated by mythology, folklore, history. I love all of that. So I'm not like researching it for myself like you do in anthropology. I like when somebody puts it in a nice book like that and then I read it and consume that information. That's my favorite.
Right. It's just fantastic. I love it too. Obviously, I wouldn't write about it if I didn't. But I just wanted to touch on when I said it, to learn about these different spirits and saints and then, you know, amplify the one that speaks to you. When I say speaks to you, I'm not just talking about somebody you can relate to, but in New Orleans Voodoo, we say that the spirits choose us, we don't choose them. So the first step is to be open. And if we are meant to walk this path, the spirits will reach out. You will know. You will know, either through dreams or through people that might come into your life, events that may occur that somehow open a door for you that wasn't previously opened, or turns on some kind of switch, you know, light switch that starts making other things make sense to you in the context of voodoo. So yeah, get to learn, you know, learn more about stuff, about it.
And I do appreciate how much of that information comes across in your books and how much of it translates into like practical hands-on information in your newest one, because there really is so many different things that you include in there, even though the publisher made you cut stuff out. I mean, just the like the kitchen that you mentioned, like remedies, beauty stuff, cleaning your house. Like there's so much like good, like practical hands-on things to really get you involved.
Right. And that was the purpose of the book. It was to, you know, basically this is if you are interested in Marie Laveau's voodoo, then, and you want to live a life kind of like hers, then you can learn how to do that by incorporating the things that I talk about in the book. You know, from your kitchen witchery to, like you're talking about, cures and remedies, you know, how to, you know, heal from certain things. The beauty formulas was fun to write about.
And we should try to live like Marie Laveau. That is something I think a lot of us need more of in our lives. She was a strong person that, you know, was really on the right side of things, of being this correct amount of kind and caring, and at the same time being a badass.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's a great, great woman in history to look up to and have as an idol.
Right. And I do want to mention that if anybody is really interested in learning about New Orleans voodoo, I do offer a free course at Crossroads University that's open to anybody. You can come and take it and learn all about the history and the different kinds of voodoo, where it comes from, because we, you know, it's a Creole tradition. So there's various cultural influences, not just one. And you can learn. I don't teach about the magic in that course. I'm not going to teach you how to do spells and workings and stuff, because to me, that's not what voodoo is. To me, you know, as I've said, voodoo is a way of living life in a spiritual way that honors relationships and emphasizes living in harmony with nature and empowers people to learn how to harness energies around them to conjure a world of their own making.
Well, that is very kind of you to offer that class for free. I did not know that existed, and I am obviously going to be taking that.
Yeah. Just go to crossroadsuniversity.com and click on the courses link, and it'll open up. It should be on the first page after you do that. So, yeah. Okay. And I have a forum there, too, that you can join that's free.
That sounds perfect. Listeners, I will have that linked in the show notes as always, as well as all of Denise's works and where you can find her online and to get the new book that is coming out. You definitely will not regret it. You're going to enjoy all of this information and all of the books if you haven't read them already. But Denise, thank you so much for being here today and chatting about this and just sharing your opinions and your expertise. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Listeners, that's everything that I've got for this week. I will see you next week, and do head over to whichwednesdays.com to check out all of those links and get the book and a free course. Need even more witchcraft in your life? Subscribe to Witch Wednesdays on Patreon and YouTube for all types of exclusive bonus content like spells, recipes, book reviews, and more. Or even order personalized tarot readings and spells. Be sure to follow on Instagram at Witch Wednesdays Podcast. And you can find all these links and more at witchwednesdays.com. Oh,